It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Wait, what happened? Because I'm seeing it all over the chat now.
Chris in the YouTube chat killed off Ed Lover, who is still very much with us.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm just happy for what somebody accidentally killed someone off, and it wasn't me. Because that's kind of my gimmick.
Killing off people that are still with us.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody asked, did Justin Jackson get a ring, too? Of course
yes.
he did. Of course he did. Well, I mean, no.
Yeah,
not yet.
But he will be receiving one at some point.
The exterior shots of the Deer District outside of Fife Surf, it was 60,000 plus.
That looked closer to like 90. That was a zoo.
I said tongue in cheek, King's Landing greater than Deer District.
I'm sure you got ripped for that.
Tongue in cheek. I'm so happy for Milwaukee and their fans. But it did make me think, like, honestly, no one needs to tell me how crazy the city would get if the Kings were in that position. But I started thinking, God, would we even be able to approach that? We're actually a bigger market barely than Milwaukee, but God, could we get 60,000 out there?
Not only could we get 60,000.
You really think so?
I think we could double that.
I think so.
Put it in complete context, right? The entire history of this franchise in this city, everything we have seen. If the Kings, you know, this perennial dumpster fire doormat.
Yeah, we know.
Gets to the NBA Finals in a city that is so starving just for anything, right? I'm telling you, of all, not quite 30 cities, but you get where I'm going with this. I think Sacramento would be the most lit. I really do. Just when you put everything into its proper context.
Would it be a lit per person ratio, or do you think, like, I was actually trying to think...
The bandwagon in Sacramento, dude, would be overflowing.
Oh, no doubt. You'd see car flags everywhere and blah, 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 and that's fine. But I was even thinking just physically, like, Doko can't hold that.
No.
Doko can't. It's not as big outside.
You're going to have to do, like, different King's Landing. Like, we're going to have King's Landing, but then we're going to have to just come up with all the Game of Thrones, different places where people are packed in at.
Would they just fill Doko the outside and then, you know, like,
yes.
where they have the concerts? And then you'd have, like, the where the Kempton is. Mm-hmm. You'd have those balconies filled. But then wouldn't they kind of have to shut down that stretch of David Stern?
I was just going to say,
Cesar Chavez Park.
You'd probably have to shut down a stretch of J Street. Like, you're going to have to shut down, to your point, you're going to have to shut down stretches because I think it'd be that lit.
You probably have a lot of people. They probably have to put TVs, like, over in the, mm-hmm. what's the figure skating park across the street?
Dude, yes.
Yeah.
All the above.
You're going to have all... of that filled. Oh, God, I just...
Can't wait for the play-in.
Hilarious, we get 100,000 people for our first play-in. Soundgarden right now.
Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
I want to thank Milwaukee for believing in me. You know, thank my teammates, man. They played hard every freaking game. You know, I trusted this team. I wanted to do it here in the city. I wanted to do it with these guys. So I'm happy. I'm happy that we were able to get it done.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. As our sound service spells it, though, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I'm glad they tried to at least spell it this time because usually the sound service will just put Giannis.
Giannis, which, I mean, stick to that.
Google, guys, it's not hard.
His name isn't even spelled the way it's spelled on his jersey. It was misspelled on his passport. I expect, by the way, I'm going to make a prediction right now, and this isn't too, I don't think this is too off the cuff. I think whether it's next year or the year after, I think we're going to see a different last name on the back of his jersey, and I think it's going to be very akin for you old heads of when Hakeem Olajuwon went with Hakeem Olajuwon, which was the original and proper spelling. I think Giannis is going to go back to what his actual birth last name was, and I'm all for it. It's a great day he's representing multiple cultures.
Sure.
And I kept thinking last night throughout the game, and I said it a couple times. A thought hit me halfway through the first, a sloppy play back and forth, but they kept showing those exterior shots.
Yeah.
And I went, you know what? When you think about Giannis, when you think about Milwaukee, when you think about the Phoenix Suns, how happy and content with that little impish smile was David Stern last night? How happy was
he? Anytime a small market wins,
yeah.
David Stern and the legacy of David Stern wins.
This is his dream. And listen, David Stern, we know what he did for the city of Sacramento. He also was instrumental. Remember, Milwaukee back in 2008, 9, 10, there was all kinds of talk about them moving.
Yeah, they were at the Bradley Center, which was built, coincidentally, I believe opened the same year as Arco 2, and similar issues where it's like, yo, this building has been bad for a while, and luckily for them, David, to your point, David Stern helped get new ownership. Herb Cole, the original owner, sold the team knowing that these guys would keep him in Milwaukee, built the Pfizer Forum, which is a beautiful facility. Mm-hmm. And also, like, Giannis is kind of instrumental to a degree in keeping them there and keeping the interest in the Milwaukee Bucks.
Absolutely.
And you need that interest when it, you know, when you're trying to get public favor and building a, you know, expensive facility.
Yeah.
So Giannis is kind of the man in Milwaukee. Dare I say Giannis is approaching like GOAT status for the state of Wisconsin.
Well, that's,
and that's a hell of a take.
With the offseason Aaron Rodgers has had, I'd be very curious. Now it's too recent. But let's do this in. I'd like to see this a month into the football season, assuming the Packers are, you know, 3-1, something like that. They come out, they start well. Who is more popular in the state of Wisconsin, Aaron Rodgers or Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I mean, I think if you were to do it today, to your point, I agree. You needed a month out. But today, I feel Giannis is like, would 80, blow 20, him out. Yes.
At least. Congratulations to him. More on that later. Number two.
Soundgarden.
Ain't no moral victories or whatnot. We sort of saw what it takes to get there. And, you know, hopefully we see what it takes to get, you know, past that.
Chris Paul.
Rough. He had a good game last night, you know.
He was one of three in the first quarter. And I remember thinking, Chris Paul was one of three in the first quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo was 4 of 4 from the line.
Yeah.
From the free throw line.
I put on Twitter last night, what did he finish, 17 and 19?
Yes, he missed two. He was 17 and 19, which was by far his best performance.
Giannis walked to that free throw line last night like he was damn Steph Curry.
If there's ever been a better example of a superstar seizing the moment and coming through in the clutch for a guy that teams would purposely foul to get him to the line, for a guy who from the free throw line shot 68% this year, and I'm pretty sure it was worse in the playoffs, and he goes 17 and 19. I'll tell you, I've seen that one other time in my life on that scale.
Don't do it.
I hate doing it.
Don't
you
do
know
it.
Where I'm going.
Yep.
But I've seen it one other time. And that was Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow Shaquille O'Neal, when it counted, would make his flipping free throws. Anyways, back to Chris Paul. You're right. Chris Paul did end up having a good game last night. You can't say he shied away. He was 11 and 19. He had 26 points, which led his team. And he had 5 assists. Did he play the best game ever? No. But let's remember, even though the Bucks won this game by 7, this was a back-and-forth game.
Yeah.
It was a tale of two quarters, 29-16 Milwaukee in the first, 31-13 Suns in the second. And I remember thinking at halftime, uh-oh, we might have ourselves a game 7 here. Mm-hmm. Here comes Phoenix. What didn't work out?
I want to say it was late in the fourth. Milwaukee's up 8. Bobby Portis missed a corner. It was Bobby Portis from Middleton missed a corner.
You said late in the fourth?
Late in the fourth.
You're 100% correct. It was late in the fourth, and Giannis kicked it out to Portis in the far corner, and he had a wide-open three, and he missed it, and that would have iced the game. And did you have the same thought
I had the same thought. Yep. Booker, because I think it was Booker got the board, layup,
right,
and
back
then
down.
I want to say they scored it, and the next, I'm like, oh, boy, here comes Phoenix.
Yep, when Portis missed that free throw. And by the way, that was shortly after our old friend Kyle Madsen said, if Mike Breen gives Bobby Portis in the NBA Finals a bang, I will streak across the quad.
Ew.
And that play happened 5 seconds after he sent that tweet out.
Yeah, and I think Milwaukee saw the tweet later and decided, we can't have this.
We can't, so he missed it on purpose. Yeah. Well done, Bobby. Number three.
Soundgarden.
Guys like Chris who've had these unreal careers, and yet they get penalized because they haven't won a title. You know, that was my goal, was to win it for him and Book. You know, those guys have carried us all year long. And Chris is my second time coaching him. I know what he puts into his craft. I know the dedication. And so when I hear those sentiments about his career because he hasn't won a championship, it's just silly.
That's Monty Williams protecting his player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we heard earlier Monty Williams breaking down a little bit at the podium, I'll just bet that if there's a pie chart of why Monty Williams was upset and sad, whatever term you want to use about this, I'll bet you the large majority of that pie chart was he was upset for the city of Phoenix and the players on the team. And then maybe a tiny little slice was he was sad for himself. And that's Monty Williams.
But I would like to break that down even more, because I think Chris Paul, his point, was a large part of that slice.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that is definitely part of what drove Monty Williams, you know, this year, was definitely getting CP3 that ring.
Well, when you talk about what drove him and what drives a lot of people in this area, at least, it's a hoblet truck. And right now, yeah, that's right, I did it. Assist from Jay. It's the Ram Spotlight event, the Dodge Summer Sales event going on right now up at our friends, Hoblet Dodge. They've got the biggest selection of HD Rams in California. Over 300 of all sizes available. Up to $5,000 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 1500 Bighorn or Laramies. Up to $3,500 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 25 and 3500s. And 2.49% financing for 84 months. That is thousands of available savings. Only at Oblin. On the new 2021 Ram 15, 25, and 3500s. Tons of brand new 2020 Rams arriving every day. Find your perfect truck at Hoblet with one of the best selections in the state of light-duty and heavy-duty Ram trucks. The showrooms are open. They're clean. They're socially distanced. But you can still go online to HobletDodge.com. Hit search, select, save. Search, select, and save to shop online, get financing, and even get your vehicle delivered. Hey, you can take virtual walk-arounds and virtual test drives if you want. No hassle, no pressure ever, dealership. Best prices, best selection, period.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Three for Madness. All right, we talked about Chris Paul a little bit, but was this it? As Huey Lewis says, if this is it, where does he go from here? Where do the Suns go from here? And what happens when the Nets and Sixers are healthy next year? Our very, very early 2022 Eastern Conference Championship predictions happen next.
One, two, three.
It's three for Madness time. Three for Madness. Three questions, three answers.
One, two, three. Woo!
It's three for Madness. Here's question one.
All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll hit halftime. A lot of stuff to cover. On any normal day, we'd be spending a ton of time on the A's vote, the A's game, the Giants' disaster yesterday in L.A.
That's subjective, by the way.
That was a disaster. You're up 6-1 and you blow it. That's a disaster.
Yeah, can't relate.
I hate you so much.
That's a strong word.
Coming up at 8:05.
And I don't think you really feel that way.
We've got all kinds of numbers for
think,
the Bucks.
Think you're just doing a bit for the radio.
You're a bit.
That's true.
Right now, Justin Marshall, that's noted me. Dodger fan, with L.A. coursing through his veins. The city of Los Angeles and Jay Mars go hand in hand. He spends every night wishing he could live down there where he feels at home.
Amongst the smog.
In the meantime, the misplaced but talented Jay Mars with three for Madness.
Was that Chris Paul's last chance to lead a team to an NBA title?
I mean, the hot take is yes.
I don't think that's the hot take.
You don't?
I think no is the hot take.
Well, first off, we don't know, but that's the silly answer.
Good.
Yeah, there you go.
Good job, guy.
I don't know, Jay.
Next.
I've learned to not underestimate Chris Paul.
Same.
I've learned to not underestimate Chris Paul, and I didn't see any slip in his game. He battled injury, personality, and whether you like or don't like him aside. Let's not forget, the Phoenix Suns were about 58 minutes away from winning an NBA title.
Mm-hmm.
The Phoenix Suns. And again, I want to save that for tomorrow, but we're going to talk a lot about the Phoenix Suns, who, by the way, as amazing of a story as it is in Milwaukee, haven't won in 50-plus years, Giannis, all that, small market. Phoenix is probably the more amazing story.
I agree.
They certainly were a far bigger underdog coming into the season than Milwaukee was. You're talking about Milwaukee, who's been in the mix for a good solid 3 years now. Chris Paul was a huge part of that difference. Devin Booker's only going to get better. DeAndre Ayton's only going to get better. They've got a great coach, a good solid group around him, and you're going to get people now that want to go there, that want to play for them. I'm going to say no, and I know maybe that's the hot take. I don't know that he'll ever get back. I don't know that he'll ever win a title with Phoenix, but I don't think this is a flash in the pan team, and we go back to 7-0 in the play-in last year. I think this is a team that found themselves this year, and they're going to be a problem next year.
I agree. I just don't know if they're, like you said, they're still going to, what's crazy is they were the number two seed this year.
Right.
NBA finals this year. I still feel like next year they're going to be considered an underdog.
I agree with
Everyone's going to be looking back, will the Lakers be healthy? What are the Clippers going to do? The Portland situation, how that's going to work itself out. There's all these factors that are going to play in. I do think this was his best chance to lead a team to a championship.
Well, certainly he was the closest.
Yeah.
He was the closest he's ever been.
I don't know if he gets that close again as a leader. I feel like he doesn't.
I disagree in one aspect, and this is a technicality. I think his best chance to lead a team to a championship was with the Rockets when he got his hamstring injury. It took an all-time Houston collapse.
I agree.
And it took a hamstring injury. I believe that they beat the Warriors in that series if Chris Paul is healthy. And if they beat the Warriors in that series, I think they're winning the finals.
Here's my caveat to that is he was just up 2-0 in the NBA Finals.
He was.
If they got swept, that's different. They were up 2-0.
They were.
They lost four straight.
But you know what the other team gets paid to win, too?
Well, you know what? Now that you put it that way.
Number two.
Question two.
Can the Suns get back to the finals next season?
Of course they can. Of course they can. They will not be the favorites. They certainly will not be the favorites. That'll, I'm sure, be the Lakers. And by the way, we're sitting here right now. We don't know what other teams are going to do. We don't know what Denver's going to look like with a healthy Jamal Murray. We don't know what Utah, who, by the way, was the number one seed. We don't know what they're going to add, if they're going to add anything. Oh, by the way, you have the Clippers in the second year, provided Kawhi Leonard comes back. That's a big question mark. But that would, in the third year of their super teaming. And, oh, yeah, the Lakers. Oh, yeah, Luka Doncic and the Mavs. We don't know what other teams are going to do. Here's what we do know. Phoenix is a very good team. They were almost the one seed this year. And they're a better team than the Clippers, a better team than the Lakers. But they don't have the better players at the top.
Right.
But when you're talking about a season, with COVID the year before, everything going on, and all the injuries, that's why a team in a big reason like Phoenix was able to go so far, because they could handle adversity a little more than a team like the Lakers, than a team like the Clippers. Kawhi's out, you're done. LeBron's hurting, AD is out, you're done. With Phoenix, yeah, of course, Chris Paul was out for Chris Paul was out for a little bit, and they still managed to make the finals.
Yeah.
So, I think it's there, and I think a lot of people are going to want to go play for Monty Williams.
Mm-hmm. I think the Suns can get back to the finals. Again, I don't feel super confident that they'll be back there next year, but the idea that anyone is going to write them off is silly.
Don't do it.
That's silly.
Don't do it at all. Number three.
Question three.
Where do the Bucks stand against the Nets and Sixers if all are healthy next season?
Well, let's talk about the Nets. I think the Bucks are a better team than the Nets. They're deeper than the Nets. But you got Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. Now, I'll say it again. They got bit by injuries this year. But we're also forgetting, you've now got another year of three of the most explosive egos in the game. By the way, anytime you are talking about a trio of NBA players, and James Harden is the one with the least amount of ego. That's crazy.
What? That's definitely one way to look at it.
If the Nets are healthy next year, if the Nets are able to cohabitate and be a team next year, I think the Nets win the whole thing, and I don't think they're particularly challenged.
Yeah, they have to be the early favorites. If you were putting, I haven't looked at betting odds today, but they have to be.
They absolutely will be. It'll be the Nets number one. It'll probably be the Lakers two, and then maybe the Bucks three, I think, is probably how it'll turn out. I will say the Bucks over the Sixers, but asterisk, I don't know what Daryl Morey is going to do in the offseason.
Yeah, whatever Daryl Morey does, I still think the Bucks are the number two behind the Nets.
Okay, let me ask you this. What if Daryl Morey is able to pull off a trade and Dame Lillard goes to Philadelphia and they lose Ben Simmons and picks?
Now, you get Dame Lillard, that's obviously a game changer.
Where does that put them for you?
That would, in the East? To me, oh, man.
So you got Dame Lillard, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, Matisse Thybulle.
I stand for Dame maybe. I have an inherent Dame bias,
sure,
because I want to say I put them at number one. That's what I want to say, but I don't know if that's completely logical given what the Nets have.
I would put them at two.
Okay, but it's like two.
It's one A and one B,
right?
But the Bucks would be three. We both agree.
I agree,
that.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a huge if.
If they got Dame Lillard, I feel like CJ McCollum is more of a realistic target there.
Sure.
But if they got him, it's number three, but a damn good number three team.
All right, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next,
a lot more on the Bucks and the NBA Finals and their NBA championship. A lot more on where Giannis stands now in the pantheon of amazing players in NBA history. We'll do that at 8:05. We've got halftime coming up next, and then we will spend a few minutes on the term sheet vote in Oakland for all you A's fans. We'll do that right after this.
1-800-920-1140 to talk.
Or maybe texting would be better.
Text the show at 916-339-1140. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Sports. It's all sports. 24 hours a day.
All right, welcome back. Halfway through, we'll talk about the A's City Council vote here in about 15 minutes. We'll break down the finals and we'll attempt to place Giannis in history, because that's what you do on sports radio. You compare.
Yeah. And by the way, a lot of fun stats coming up about Giannis. Like,
a lot of them.
And that's not hyperbole or exaggeration. There is a lot of firsts.
Yeah.
Or seconds or thirds, but not. Mm-hmm. It's what he did with this finals was nuts.
I want to get to halftime quickly here because we have a lot of stuff to get through. Also, I do this every once in a while. Just quick note to Kings fans. As you know, I read everything. Please stop undervaluing Domantas Sabonis. The amount of Kings trade ideas I've seen involving Domantas Sabonis.
Oh, is this one of their, hey, let's just give them a pair of seconds and some filler?
No, it's either Barnes or Buddy, Bagley, and the number nine for Sabonis.
I'm not going to comment anymore on Kings transactions. I got ripped apart pretty bad yesterday.
It's not one or two. It's not 10. I see that trade pop up everywhere.
Yeah, it's... All right, since we're doing this, can I rant for like 30 seconds?
The floor is yours, Jay.
No.
You can, by the way, you can rant whenever the heck you want. Go
because
ahead.
I saw a lot of, after we talked the whole Dame thing yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's just a large portion of this fan base who's never heard the Kings mentioned when it comes to stars like this in trades. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to act. I'm going to give you some advice. When you see your team's name attached to a star player, there's another part of that you have to really embrace, okay? It's the idea that you're not getting them for nothing.
Yeah, other GMs get paid too.
They do, and when they're going to trade a star, they're going to want a thing called value.
Value.
And what happens with value is they're going to look at who are the best players on your team and not just request one, but possibly two of them.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those fans who's dying to have a star player traded here, you also have to become okay with the idea that you're going to lose a player that you feel has a lot of potential, a player that you've liked, hell, a player you may have invested money into their jersey.
Yeah.
There's a really good chance that guy is going to go in a trade, and you have to be okay with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm really over this notion that we're going to acquire Dame Lillard and Ben Simmons for and have Halliburton and Fox on the team. What? Huh?
Yeah.
In what world do you live in, sir or ma'am?
It's okay to dream, but
sure,
make it somewhat realistic.
If you don't want to trade your favorite players while also acquiring some of the best players, here's the best advice I can give you. Pick up the sticks, put 2K in whatever system you play on.
Hey.
Disable the CPU trade thing, override it so you can just get all your favorite players and all the best players and make a fun team. And you know what? Go get that chip. Go win that title. Do it.
That's Jay Mars, everybody.
Thank you.
Also, I do this every year right before halftime. I regrettably do this every year. This is one of my least favorite segments of the year, and I do it once per year. Got an email yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Late in the day.
Who's it from?
It's from a place in Georgia.
Ah.
Known as Augusta.
Oh. Oh, no.
Dear David.
That's you.
We have completed the ticket selection process for the 2022 Masters Tournament. And we regret to inform you that your application was not selected. Please visit masters.com for future ticket opportunities. And thank you for your continued interest in the Masters. Sincerely, the Credentials Committee of the Masters Tournament.
The entire committee emailed you. That's cool.
Yeah, they signed it in ink. And it truly is a tradition unlike any other.
Yeah, you losing.
I am trying, and this is my 16th consecutive year of trying to fly across the country to pay to go watch golf.
And eat cheese sandwiches.
And eat pimento cheese sandwiches and spend, oh my God, way too much money in the Masters. Well, I'm sure it's not the Masters Pro Shop, but whatever it is where you buy the clothes.
You're going to totally, if you ever get in, which is not likely.
Oh, my God, yes.
You're that guy who goes to his first concert and just buys every band T-shirt.
I will come back, A, with a second mortgage on my home, and B, I will be the guy decked out. I'll be like Ralphie's little brother in A Christmas Story, just walking around with my hat, my polo, my shorts, my shoes, dude, some gloves.
You're going to be Garth in Wayne's World, just like, man, just it's really sad how people sell out for these, you know, things.
Everybody should get a chance that wants to go to this.
I agree.
But it isn't it kind of incredible?
But you first, right?
Well, no, asterisk. Isn't it just incredibly ironic that I have been on a mid to major market sports radio station for 20 years now? I worked for the broadcast network, CBS, for 16 of those years and have never been able to go. I can't go.
I just don't think you're trying hard enough.
I don't know what else I can do. I mean, I could go to StubHub.
You could. I just feel like, marriagically speaking, bad idea.
Also, kind of takes away from it. I want to win. They should roll it over. Like, if you got to go last year, you're not eligible for tickets for 5 years.
Do you have a threshold of years where, like, after year, let's just say 25, it's like, all right, it's StubHub time?
Yes.
Okay, what is that year? You said six. This is the 16th, right? Yes. Where are we at right now? If you say 17, I'm throwing something at you.
No, I won't say 17, but I will say 20.
Okay.
If I don't get them my 20th year, I'm going my 21st year.
And has that been approved by the household?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I also have told many...
I would just tell you this, start working on it now.
I've also told many friends of mine who apply. I've also said this to them. I've said, listen, if you win the tickets and you take me, I will fly. I will pay for our flights and I will pay for our room and board.
That's cool.
Just give me a ticket, please.
Man, now I'm going to enter the lottery. Would you be mad if I won on my first try? Like, honest to God, how angry would you be?
It would be like if, like, one of your good friends won the lotto.
Dude.
I would be so surface happy for you, but deep down inside, I'd go get me a J. Mars voodoo doll.
Would it be the equivalent of, like, when Daniel-san catches the fly with the chopsticks
for
the first time?
That's exactly what it would be. Beginner's luck. All right, halftime now.
You guys suck. That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next.
Also, thanks to my friend Gary, who's texting me on the personal text line. Since you're feeling down about the Masters, I thought I'd try to cheer you up by sending you a video I took while heading to the course on Sunday of this year. Enjoy. Here's a picture.
Thanks, Gare.
There's the video.
Appreciate it, Gare.
Gary, I feel so much better now. Thank you.
You need to give him the condescending Gare. Not Gary.
Thanks, Gare. Glad you had a safe trip back, Gare.
Enjoy the cheese sandwiches, Gare.
Here's something that happened last night.
Booker turns, shoots, fires. Shot won't go. Tucker the rebound. And that'll do it. It's over. The Bucks have done it. The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
Yep, the Milwaukee Bucks. The last time the Milwaukee Bucks won a world championship, the finals MVP was some guy named Lou Alcindor.
Lou Alcindor. I've heard of him.
Lou Alcindor.
Oh, the UCLA guy.
Yeah, went to UCLA, played for John Wooden. Funny thing is, about 3 months later, Lou Alcindor had a press conference at the State Department where he announced he wanted to be known by his Islamic name, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Now, I think most people know that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was formerly Lou Alcindor. I always like throwing this out anytime this comes up. What I think very few people know is that Lou Alcindor, Lou is not his first name. You see, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's first name by birth is not Louis. That's his middle name. His first name is Ferdinand. I'm not making any of this up. Ferdinand Louis Alcindor Jr. I've had Kareem on once. I was as starstruck as I've ever been. I've met him once. It was only a handshake, but my God, I've always wanted to ask him, did your family ever call you any form of Ferdinand growing up? Because a lot of times that happens, right? I've always wanted to know that. Were you ever a Ferdy, a Ferd, or a Ferdinand?
Ferd Alcindor.
Ferd Alcindor. I'm for real. And why did you go to your middle name?
Why?
We know why he went to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's very interesting.
Why did he go to his middle name? Because his first name was Ferdinand.
What's wrong with that?
What's right with that?
Ferdinand would you rather
be
first name.
Would you rather be Lou or Ferdy?
Ferdinand was a, Ferdy is a wonderful musician from England. With, what was that band?
I thought that was Yanni.
No, it's Ferdy. She did the national anthem, didn't go well. She was in, what's the name of that band, by the way? She had London Bridge.
Halftime.
Also the pitcher for the Dodgers back in the 80s.
Halftime.
Valenzuela. All right, number two, fine. You win. Fine, fine, fine. Number two.
Now a pop-up, first base side. Olsen coming over, has plenty of room. He's there and he makes the catch. And the A's have swept the two-game series against the Angels. They blanked the Halos by the final of 6-0.
Yay. Yays.
Dude, both L.A. teams lose yesterday. Oh, wait. Almost.
Look how close you were. This close.
You're this close.
I know.
Yeah. The A's win. Let's focus on that.
Sure.
Congratulations, A's.
Matt Olson hits another dinger.
Yeah, he has a little bit of power. And good for them. But
I think Ramon Laureano's back coming around a little bit.
Listen,
Mark Canna back in the outfield. This is good stuff. Great stuff.
I would love to spend more time on the A's with their little mini sweep of the Angels. But that wasn't the biggest story.
Yep.
Although it's 6-0, that's a good deal.
It's a great win.
I'm pausing here because I just Jay, real quick. I just want to check in based on everything that was going yesterday. Want to check in and see what was. Yeah, 9,154 at the game yesterday.
You lost the bet.
What did I say?
We had the over and under at 8,000.
Oh, you said that's they'd right. Be I under. Did lose the bet. You're right.
A's fans, they heard you. And they were angry.
A's fans came out.
They came out in droves.
They came out and drove.
They came out in dozens.
Not funny. This is not a good day for A's.
Kind of funny. Mm. A little bit funny.
Number three.
Oakland City officials voted in favor of a non-binding term sheet regarding a new waterfront ballpark on Tuesday. The problem is that it wasn't the term sheet that the A's proposed in April, a circumstance that disheartened team officials and could ultimately send that franchise into relocation, potentially to Las Vegas. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred released a statement shortly after that session, expressing disappointment in the outcome and adding that he would have a conversation with A's officials to, quote, chart a path forward for the club.
Okay. I said earlier, for those of you who weren't with us, I watched this entire meeting on Zoom. I started watching right after the show ended when it started at 9. It was almost 1 o'clock when they finally voted. It was very interesting to hear all the public comments and get that relocation PTSD. Dave Cavill came on at one point, and he said in the meeting, hey, listen, we appreciate how hard you have been working, meaning the city. We obviously have made some concessions. You've made some concessions. We've been going the right direction. But I just want to say, and I'm paraphrasing here, that a yes vote on your term sheet is not an effective path forward for us. Some of the provisions and some of the things in this term sheet, I'm just seeing for the first time in this meeting with everybody else. We've had no time to look at it, no time to base anything on it. So I'd really like to get a yes vote on the term sheet we've proposed. To which Councilmember Fife came on and said, this isn't, again, paraphrasing, but she used all these words. This is insulting. This is disrespectful. Why are we even having to vote? If we're voting on something that you're already saying ain't going to work, why are we voting on this? I thought maybe the most, because this thing was such a show.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought maybe the funny is not the right word. The most ironic thing is that the vote was 6-1. The one of the council members abstained. That was Councilmember Fife, who said, "Why are we having a vote?"
I agree.
The other no vote was from Councilmember Gallo, who used his time to speak to talk about how the A's should go to the Coliseum and redevelop that, which has been, whether you agree or disagree, has been a non-starter for years now.
By the way, if we get Dave Cavill on, I have a very specific question I want to ask about that, because sure, we're seeing the tale of two different cities when it comes to that.
That listen, fine with that. But everyone knows it's a non-starter right now. But that's what Gallo used his time for. And then he was the one, there was actually a council member who said, and I'm quoting now, "If I vote yes on this thing, I'm going to go to the bathroom and hold my nose while I do it. Like I'm going to vote. I may vote yes, but I'm not comfortable with a lot of things here." The one guy who voted no, was wearing an Oakland A's shirt during the Zoom call. The city council person. That's the no vote.
Not just any A shirt, by the way. A rooted in Oakland
rooted
A's Oakland shirt.
Thank you. So the Oakland City Council, follow me here. The Oakland City Council approved 6-1 a term sheet to move, a non-binding term sheet to move forward on the A's new ballpark and development of Howard Terminal. However,
yay,
wait. However, that yes vote, according to Dave Cavill previously, was really a no vote because the term sheet that they voted yes on was not the term sheet that the A's had presented and was a new term sheet with new things, and it might as well have been a no vote. So I don't know. I don't know what the heck's, unless Dave Cavill is using negotiation tactics, which he might have been. It was an effective no vote.
So I'm glad you said that, negotiation tactics, because this is, where are we at right now? Let's try to get to where we are at, because again, it's very fuzzy, it's very cloudy. I looked at this yesterday as a win for the city of Oakland in this sense of covering their you-know-what.
It's a PR win.
It's they covered their butts yesterday,
right?
They
can now say, we made these concessions, We bent over backwards to do this. We were ready to hand over a $12 billion developmental project to the Oakland Athletics, who, by the way, are not developers.
Mm-hmm.
And they walked away from it.
Yep.
Oh, because of a couple of technicalities. They're the bad guys. We did what we could. And now the A's go, which, by the way, my guess is most of the city council probably is fine with that. They just don't want to look bad. They don't want to be lassoed with the whole, we lost three major league teams in 3 years.
Let's just remember this team also, the city council, city of Oakland, they didn't really have a whole lot of say when it came to the Warriors going to San Francisco. There wasn't a whole lot they could do there.
Right.
The Raiders are a completely different story, and that wound is still fresh.
Yes.
It is fresh. There's no Band-Aid over it.
They're still paying for it.
Yeah.
They're literally paying money for the Raiders coming to Oakland in the first place.
Now, the other side of that, though, is this is the closest the A's and the city have ever been.
By far.
And it really would be an awful look on the A's if they just ended negotiations now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the city council still has the county in their back pocket because there's still some stuff to work out there. But if the county can come in and cover some costs, then the A's really,
sure,
really would look bad if they pulled out of negotiations.
Rob Manfred, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And I'm just, my question to you before you get into Rob Manfred is, do you think John Fisher at this point even cares if it's bad publicity leaving Oakland or if he gets what he wants out of Vegas? He just doesn't give a damn.
If you're just asking, source,
I'm just no sources, nothing.
What my instinct tells me based on what's going on and having seen a little bit of this type of stuff before, I think that Dave Cavill's a good man,
mm-hmm,
who is really good at what he does. He's not perfect. He's made errors. But I think he very much reminds me of Chris Granger. And by the way, those two are very good friends. I think Dave Cavill is trying to do what he can, but he's dealing with a very eccentric owner who wants to do something else.
Yeah.
And I think Dave's the one out on the front lines taking all the bullets. I think John Fisher's already gone. As a matter of fact, by the way, they'll be in Vegas today.
Again. I think they're already there, aren't
I think
they?
This is the fourth trip fourth they've visit. Made now. I think the die's already been cast. I hope I'm wrong, but I really do. Rob Manfred put out a statement yesterday, the commissioner of baseball. Quote, for the last 4 years, at my request and urging, the Athletics have invested significant resources and have made a major commitment to their community in the hopes of remaining as Oakland's only major professional sports franchise. We are disappointed the city council chose to vote on a proposal to which the A's had not agreed. We will immediately begin conversations with the A's to chart a path forward for the club.
Eesh.
Now, this statement was pre-written. This statement was every single word was dissected by a team of people. It is very purposely benign yet forceful at the same time. And note that when they say we'll begin conversations with the A's to chart a path forward, that is purposely vague. In other words, that doesn't mean that they can't still chart a path forward in Oakland, but he got it out that they were disappointed. He got out his message. He got out the threat, but it's the fact that what we didn't hear and what we haven't heard is, now that the vote is over, we will begin discussions with the A's in charting a path to find a new home.
Mm-hmm.
That was very, very much on purpose. It's the only thing giving me any hope for A's fans. But it is it's far from the exact situation. There's many differences. But this is the same exact feeling I and a lot of others got towards the very end of the Raiders saga. They're out the door.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a shoelace in, and they're doing due diligence with the city of Oakland. But ultimately, here's the deal. It's a $12 billion deal. It's the biggest development deal in the state of California, which is quite big.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Oakland made concessions and took the onus on that infrastructure difference. And I don't want to get too too much in the weeds, but there's things called IFDs, and the A's are proposing two, and one of them is for Jack London Square, which is basically the A's would get some of the increased tax revenue off of profits made on the Jack London Square site, which is a very profitable part of Oakland, along with the on-site Coliseum and the greater area. Well, the city's like, no, what do you have to do with Jack London Square? You can do the on-site stuff, which you're a part of. Leave Jack London Square alone. Well, that created the $300-something million difference in infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Now, the argument is, and again, I'm getting into the weeds, we'll do this once, but the infrastructure, the argument is, well, that helps the city. That's a city responsibility. But it also helps the A's. And the city's coming out and saying, you know what, we'll fill that gap. We will ultimately not make you responsible for that $300+ million. That is a mammoth concession.
Yeah.
It's a mammoth concession.
And they knew that going forward. And I think it was, I hate using the word purposefully, but for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. I think they wanted to surprise the A's with that in that council
meeting. I think you're right, and I think they did. And I think they did that in a way to where they're going to have an entire, and this is why it was so genius. This is where politics come in. They did it so that there would now be an entire news cycle where people like me mm-hmm. would say, hold on a second. They made the concession. This is a $12 billion deal. You've said, and I'm talking to the A's now, you said you've been working on this for 20 years. You're right at the edge of the cliff on this. You're so close. You're so close to having this monumental deal done. You're going to walk away because of this. Mm-hmm. And if the A's do walk away, and trust me when I say the A's, if they do walk away, are going to unleash an entire campaign of talking points. And I'm not saying they won't be legit, but it will happen where they say, here's the deal. Right now, that's what they're doing. They're in a dark room somewhere, either A, writing up those talking points and creating that campaign, or B, trying to figure out how they can counter and negotiate and keep this thing going, or C, they're in the middle and they're doing both.
Yeah.
Yesterday was not a good day for the A's. It was not a good day, should I say, for A's fans. Let's be very clear about that. Yesterday was not a good day for A's fans, but it was good only in the sense that they're not dead yet. It's not final yet, but boy, is it on life support.
You know, Cavill had said, you know, vote yes on our proposal and we'll get to extra innings. I feel like even with them not voting yes, we're at top of 10 at least.
I would say this.
It may end in bottom of 10, but I feel like we got to top of 10.
To extend your analogy, A's fans are the road team. Mm-hmm. It's extra innings. They failed to score in the top. And now in the bottom of the inning, okay, the home team, let's call them Vegas, whatever you want to call them, the home team has the bases loaded and a 3-0 count. And now let's start the game.
And a really good hitter at the plate.
And a really good hitter at the plate, and now you get to start the game. Is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? Oh, my golly, heck no.
God, I hope that city council has a good bullpen.
why you bring up bullpens, dude?
Because in baseball,
yeah, I'm
if
aware
the
of
starter
this.
Is
you
done,
didn't need to go there.
So you bring in a guy out of the bullpen. Another term from his reliever.
They walked off the Giants, okay, Jay? We get it.
More like jogged off.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, NBA Finals. Let's do this. We got a lot to talk about. You've heard all kinds of breakdowns and audio and all that. We'll have a little bit. But let's talk about Giannis. We have some amazing stats for you there. Where does Giannis stand in the Pantheon? And where does he stand at 26 years old compared to a lot of others? We'll do all that next.